The crowd cried out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Have you ever had a brush with fame? Down under we have a radio show called Brush with Fame, where people ring up. It's fairly late at night, just after the matchmakers show, where people ring up and tell about their brush with fame. The time they were out at the airport and saw Frank Sinatra just coming out of the telephone box. The bus driver who met up with some film star that I heard about one night, and it was very late at night, and the film star climbed on his bus. No one else was on the bus, so he closed the door and gave him a 2-hour trip around Sydney, showing him the sights. Loads of people standing in the streets at bus stops waiting. Nearly everybody in Australia has some brush with fame that they can recount of the moment when they saw, touched, handled, from a distance heard, or were at the gate when they had the occasion of knowing was present Sir Donald Bradman. But I won't mention that at the moment. One of my friends knows of a great brush with flame, really. His mother was at a royal garden party, and when she went to the toilets, the woman who was there, the attendant, said, "Quick, go down to the last cubicle, because the last person in that was the Queen Mother, and you can be the very next." That's more like a flush with fame, I think, really. Well, I'm glad to be here in St Helens, and I'm glad to be here in a different kind of form in St Andrews. I don't know how I am in your form, but I am somehow over there as well, in the moderns of miracles. We haven't heard you singing yet, so do try a little harder, won't you? What a brush with fame Mary had. Have you ever pondered the wonderful experience, the privilege that was Mary's? Well, it didn't start too well. Joseph wanted to divorce her quietly as soon as he heard. Well, you wouldn't know how to cope with it, would you, if your fiancée turned up and told you she was pregnant and you knew it wasn't you? What would you do? Well, she was more than a fiancée, she was betrothed. It was more than just some kind of minor sin, it was fairly significant social disaster. Indeed, it was adultery, and that was a social crime of some magnitude. I mean, divorcing her was really doing her a favour. To divorce her quietly rather than to take her to the courts, divorce was in the air in the birth of Jesus. But he married her. I mean, the illegitimacy, the shame, the public humiliation, all that was put aside in the divorce, although there are always the whispers behind the back. There are indications throughout the New Testament that they kept on whispering about Jesus. The irregularities continued. I mean, they had that first one very early, didn't they? Autumn bride, winter baby. We know about that kind of thing, don't we? Wink, wink. But it all turned out well. The baby was born. The baby was nursed and suckled. All the normal intimacies of relationship and joys of motherhood were hers. All the joy of such intimacy as to have the small child, your own, your very own baby, to ponder, to look at, to gaze at, as young mothers are wont to do. To worry over and to pray over, to be excited by, to recount the first step, the first tooth, the first whatever it is that you have. And he grew to be a fine man too. Well, more than a fine man, an extraordinary man. And more than that, really, he grew to be the talk of the nation. For this extraordinary man turned out to be no just kind of extraordinary man. This man was the Messiah that they had been only waiting for several centuries. This man was the Christ. This man was so extraordinary, this Christ, this man, This man was God himself. And so the woman became the mother of God. For suckling at her breast was none other than God. Now that's a brush with fame. No wonder the anonymous caller cried out from the crowd, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Blessed's such a funny word, isn't it? You can't talk normally and you've got anything to do with Christianity. You've got to go into weirdo words. Blessed. Have a blessed Christmas. I'll have whatever kind of Christmas I want, thank you. I don't know what kind of a blessed Christmas is. That's a funny religious word, isn't it? Some time ago, one of our translators tried to work out how to translate it so that people could understand it, and they translated it as happy. It's the Greek word Makarios, as in Archbishop Makarios, who never seemed to be had much to be happy about. But they went for happy, because the word blessed has the idea of what's the very best. And of course, in our utilitarian frame of mind, we tend to think that the very best in life is happiness. But of course, Christians aren't utilitarians. They don't believe the best in life is happiness. And so a Christian could never translate it that way and actually think that it's caught the idea properly. That's a pagan way of understanding the best in life. That's a pagan way of translating the world. That's a pagan's Bible, really. And seeing pagans tend not to read it, it really, I suppose, doesn't matter. Now, a better translation really is, how lucky are you? Lucky the person. What a lucky girl. Fancy having that one as your baby. How lucky can you be to have the baby who is indeed God? But we don't believe in luck. Luck is a notion that's right outside the world where God controls all things. Luck's another pagan notion. So we can't really translate it lucky, can we? That's a very good Australian term. You're a lucky bloke, but in this occasion, a lucky blokess. But you really can't translate it lucky. That's not going to operate. So let's go, how fortunate. How fortunate you are. But we don't believe in fortune either, do we? So there's not much we can do about fortune. Someone tackled it in a completely different way a few years ago, and they pointed out, this is such the good life, the blessed life. This is the kind of life that is to be envied. This is the kind of person to dream you would like to be. This is the kind of experience that you would like to have. How enviable the experience. But then again, envy is one of the sins of the flesh. I mean, we believe in that one. We just believe it's wrong. So, blessed. How blessed is the lady? That's the only thing we've got left for us, you see. We don't know what it means, but at least it's right. So Mary herself said, all generations will call me blessed. All generations will say how lucky, how fortunate, how happy, how to be envied, you are the one. All generations shall be called me blessed. And here was one of her own generation calling out to her son, how blessed was your mother. Why, her son was God. Both the word blessed and the description of Mary as the mother of God are really backhanded compliments about Jesus, aren't they? In both ways, the people are trying to say that this Jesus was God and his mother therefore had to be the mother of God. This Jesus is a marvellous man. Your mother really is the fortunate woman. It's a backhanded compliment of Jesus. But both of them have led to Mary being a source of popular devotion. Mary, the mother of God, has become the centre in popular devotion of art and of architecture, of statues and of prayer and of devotion. Why, babies are lovely, wonderful little things that you can draw magnificent pictures of, all their little chubby cheeks like early youthful Winston Churchill's. But the centre of the Christmas scene over and over again, while it's the baby, it's always the mother, isn't it? She is the one that people in art and in architecture have centred on. She is the one who is the powerful creature at the statues. The baby, well, if the baby is doing anything other than just clinging, it looks artificial. One of those little babies you see every now and then sitting on its mother's arms, they're giving blessings as if somehow Jesus started off as some kind of anything but a baby. Doesn't fit, and so Mary is the powerful creature, the powerful one that you see. Mary is the one that is the centre feature. We don't know the colour of the clothing that Jesus was wrapped in, but Mary's always in blue, to match her Jewish eyes, I presume. That's not likely, is it, really? In fact, have you noticed how un-Jewish she generally looks? Strange, actually. Mary, the Mother of God, is the one to whom we pray, the one to whom people have devotions, the one whom people say is right next to God. That when God is not listening to you, go to Mary, because after all, Mary was the mother of God, and you can't get closer to God than Mary. You can't get closer to God than the woman who was the mother of God. How blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you, cried the woman. And listen to the reply of Jesus. Now listen carefully. You are listening carefully, I can see that, and it's wonderful, especially considering where you're sitting, some of you. But listen carefully now to the reply of Jesus. Listen as if your very life hangs on it, because frankly, it does. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Did you hear it? Did you get it? Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and who nursed you. Blessed rather are they who hear the word of God and obey it. Mary is not the most blessed person that ever walked the face of this earth. Mary is not the one to envy, says Jesus. Mary is not the one who is closest to God. Mary is not the centre of attraction. When God became man, he didn't become man for Mary's sake. He didn't become man for Mary's deification. He didn't become man for Mary to become important. Mary is unimportant in the story. Wonderful as her experience was, it wasn't to be compared with the experience of those who hear the word of God and obey it. No, rather, blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. You can be more blessed than the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's Jesus' view, friends, that I'm quoting. It's not some kind of weird down under heresy that I've picked up. It's just what Jesus himself said. You can be more blessed than the woman who is Mother of God. Because as the Apostle Peter wrote, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Jesus in his death on our behalf brings us closer to God than the woman who bore him and who fed him. For Christ came into the world to bring us to God, and by his death he so paid for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, as Peter says, that we who are sinners and who are cut off from God and who make God angry and who are going to face his hell, we can be brought into the very presence of God. I've travelled 10,000 miles to tell you this, but this trip of 10,000 miles, this 24 hours in the plane, this jet lag and all the rest of it that's involved, is nothing compared to the distance that mankind is from God, but that the Lord Jesus Christ travelled to bring us to God, closer than a mother to his child, closer than Mary to the baby. If you think Mary is close to God, think again. For anyone who hears God's word, anyone who hears the gospel of Jesus and obeys it, will be more godly, will be closer to God, is more to be envied, is the enviable blessed one of Jesus Christ. And inasmuch as Mary heard and obeyed the word of God, she too was blessed, not in as much as she had the baby, but in as much as she, like many in the centuries since her, heard and obeyed the word of God. She, nowhere in front of the queue, nor at the back of the queue, is in there with us. So how blessed are you this Christmas? Many people find very little blessing in Christmas. One Christmas merges into another as one winter merges into another. They all go faster and faster as the years roll on. It's hard to believe we're coming around to the songs again, to the mince pies and the rest. But you can find a better Christmas than Mary ever had. You can get closer to God than the Mother of God. But you need to turn back from careless indifference to God's word. For it is only those who hear and obey it who have this blessing. You see, those who hear it have a brush with fame. That's you, friends, this very night. For the words that I've been speaking, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. They are the word of God to you. The word that I speak to you, that Christ Jesus Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, that is God's word. You have heard God's word this night. You have had a brush with the supernatural fame. But those who hear the word of God and obey it, they don't have a brush with fame. They enjoy the fame of being God's family, brought into his very presence, right to live with him for all eternity. Not just some kind of brush with fame that you can ring up and big note yourself out. It actually brings you into the eternity of God's kingdom. Jesus told that parable of which we learnt, as many of us as children, to sing a song about. About building on the rock and building on the sand. There's a couple of children's songs, and for your mercy, and because we obviously have such fine musicianship here tonight, I will not inflict them upon you. The wise man built upon the rock and the foolish man upon the sand, and when the storms came, the man's life on the rock stood firm and the man's life on the sand came crash. And what is the rock and what is the sand? Jesus said, anyone who hears my word and does it is like a wise man who... And anyone who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a foolish man who builds upon the sand. Don't be fools this Christmas. For there is something terribly foolish and deceptive about hearing God's word and being satisfied. Hearing and obeying God's word will bring satisfaction, will bring blessing, blessing far above being even the mother of our Lord. The offer is too good to miss, so why not take action? How? Well, we're going to pray in a moment. That's the first place to take action, by saying, talking to God about the matter. How? By, well, talking about it tonight over mince pies. How? By coming again to hear more of God's word. You won't have to put up with an Australian accent for many more months. I'm going. But you will hear God's word here preached in this church. Indeed, it's a well-known church. It's well-known even in Australia as a church which seeks to teach God's word. How? The stewards have got little booklets that we have here called Christmas Unwrapped. It's a very little booklet. If you're hearing God's word and you're not obeying God's word, and well, it's all rather mystifying. It's a long time. So, I mean, I sing the carols each year, but I actually haven't spent much time hearing and obeying God's word. Why don't you ask the stewards at the door for one of these little booklets on the way out? They'll be standing there for some time after you've minced pie and the rest of it. But they'll be just this little, free of charge. I'd like to give it to you myself, but the doorway is too small for us to all go through the same doorway so as to be able to pass me. So the stewards at each of the doors will be having this little booklet, and we'd love you to have it so that you could actually think through what it means to hear and obey God's word. For those who hear and obey God's word are more blessed than the Mother of God herself. Blessed are the woman who gave you birth and nursed you. No, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we haven't always been listening to you. And we confess that hearing you, we haven't always been obeying you. Thank you for sending your Son into this world to pay for our disobedience, to pay for our unrighteousness, to pay for our unwillingness to listen to you, to pay for our unwillingness to obey you. Thank you that through his death and resurrection, we can be brought to you. Thank you for the promise that our life will be more blessed than someone who had such joy in having her own son, in having your son. Thank you for this promise that it is ours, and we pray for us, Father. For those of us who hear your word this night, that we might be obedient to you and so share in that blessing, that we might be able to be brought into your family, for we obey your Son's gospel. So send your Spirit upon us this Christmas, Father, that we may not continue in foolishness, but in the wisdom that brings this blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.